The next case is 03-1947, Belmont County Sheriff versus Fraternal Order of Police of Ohio. Mr. Cox.
I'll call the case.
May it please the court. I'm Paul Cox, Chief Counsel for the Fraternal Order of Police Ohio Labor Council. We're the appellant in this case. We are here today appealing rulings by the Common Pleas Court and the Court of Appeals in this matter, vacating the award, the interlocutory award of arbitrator Anna Duvall Smith. We are here, in a sense, once again, attempting to preserve the inexpensiveness and simplicity of the arbitration procedure versus what we believe will lead, if the Court of Appeals decision is affirmed, to complexity and difficulty in practice, expense in practice, for litigants in arbitrations. On its face, this case is simple. The contracting question says the question of arbitrability of a grievance may be raised by either party before the arbitration hearing of the grievance on the grounds that the matter is non-arbitrable or beyond the arbitrator's jurisdiction. The first question to be placed before the arbitrator will be whether or not the alleged grievance is arbitrable. If the arbitrator determines the grievance is within the purview of arbitrability, the alleged grievance will be heard on its merits before the same arbitrator. That is what Ms. Smith did in this case. She heard arguments from both sides at a hearing, and then she decided that the case was arbitrable based upon the arguments that were made by the parties before her. No transcript of that proceeding was made. No motion practice was engaged in. No pleadings were before her outside the grievance and the contract. And she made a decision, which is in the record, and which essentially says that there is the possibility that the grievance have to make a case that there was a violation of this contract.
Counsel, if the arbitrator's order had not been overturned, and basically, I think, if I understand, she only reached the issue of whether it was arbitratable at that point, correct?
Yes, sir.
If that decision had not been overturned, and then she had gone forward and ruled on the merits, Belmont County Sheriff been able to appeal at that point whether or not she had exceeded the CBA?
Yes, Your Honor. The statute's clear on that. One of the issues that can be raised, one of the few issues that can be raised on appeal, is the question of the arbitrator's authority. And if the sheriff felt at that time after a hearing on the merits that the award somehow exceeded the arbitrator's authority, or somehow specifically, as this court found in the OCB case, violated the restriction in the contract, then he would be perfect, not only free to appeal, but successful in this appeal.
And we don't know yet how she would have gone. She might have ruled against the FOP and not awarded what you sought.
Yeah, without question, that was a possibility. What we have in her decision is a recitation of a reason which addresses an argument that was made to her by the employer in the hearing. She was faced with an argument by the employer that the case wasn't arbitrable. He gave her reasons, and she addresses at least one of those reasons when she makes her ruling. The Court of Appeals and also the Common Pleas Court latch on to that as if she had actually made a ruling on the merits. You can see, in fact, the Court of Appeals specifically misstates the situation on page one of its of its decision, it said in the last sentence of the first paragraph, the Court of Appeals says, because the arbitrator's award requires a check to be paid based upon the grievance. The arbitrator's award did not require a check to be paid. There was not even an attempt by the arbitrator to make that requirement. The arbitrator did answer a question that the appellee had raised in the argument before her.
And doesn't the Court of Appeals, in essence, reach a merit issue in deciding whether the issue is arbitratable at all? It goes to the merit of the underlying arbitration itself to decide that.
As we argue in our brief, by talking about possible remedies such as subsequent payments or prior payments or payments for benefits, the Court of Appeals is essentially addressing the merits of the grievance. And one of the hypotheticals I think we give you is the arbitrator could very well have also hypothetically ordered that the sheriff should ensure that credit were given, but required the grievance to make those payments. And there would be no payment required of the employer. So for the court to say that somehow the possibility of an erroneous award would create a lack of jurisdiction, we think is incorrect and error and ought to be reversed. But the second argument I wanted to make today.
Let me stop there, Mr. Cox. Are you concerned at all that the Court of Appeals has signaled to the arbitrator how she should decide the merits in the case? I was a little surprised that the Court of Appeals' opinion went as far as it did, as I guess Justice Stratton has at least raised the issue. It seems to me that if I'm an arbitrator, I get the case, if I would get the case back, if the decision of the Court of Appeals is reversed, it seems the Court of Appeals already made some determination of the merits. Are you concerned at all about that or not?
Chief Justice Moyer, we're very concerned about that. And I can't tell you if this court were to order this return to the arbitrator, I can't tell you now, although I suspect that we would have to modify the original argument that we intended to make on the basis of the Court of Appeals decision even now, which of course I think is unfortunate, but I think of reality. The second argument I wanted to bring to this court's attention this morning in oral argument has to do with what the consequences, what I think the possible consequences of the Court of Appeals decision is. The fact of the matter is that arbitration now can be very, very simple. Two sides go in, they bring their witnesses, they do have subpoena power, and they can subpoena witnesses, but in contrast to proceedings in court, it's very inexpensive and very simple. The Court of Appeals has begun, we believe, to go down the road of complexifying, if I may use that term, these
what
kinds
was that
of
again?
Procedures. Excuse me, Your Honor.
What did you say that we're doing?
Complexifying.
Okay.
What I mean by that is that they are setting up a situation where parties are going to have records of what arguments were made. They're going to have records of what motions were made. They're going to have records of what evidence was introduced at each stage. This was an interlocutory appeal, and if you were to compare it to a common pleas court situation where there was a 12b6 motion made, for example, in the court you'd have the motion practice, you might have affidavits filed, you might even have some discovery already. Now, if the court is affirmed, this is the beginning of forcing parties to do exactly that kind of thing in arbitration, to put things in the record, to make these things much more expensive because the Court of Appeals wants to look at specifically the arbitrator's rationale and say, well, she was going to do this or she could have done that. And the only way I could argue directly against that is to give the Court of Appeals some indication of what everything that was argued in the arbitration proceeding and every possible argument that was made to the arbitrator. And to do that involves additional expense. It's a step. I'm not trying to say that we're going to end up with civil rules in arbitrations, but it is a step to which litigants will have to respond.
Mr. Cox, then what is the rule of law that you want this court to write in this case?
We believe that where a contract specifically says that arbitrability is reserved to the arbitrator, that interlocutory issue ought not to be reviewable in an interlocutory manner. That there are currently statutory and case law precedent that provide for review of those kinds of issues under 2711. And there's no reason
Says when an arbitration can be reviewed, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, Justice O'Donnell. And that is, our belief is that is a perfectly adequate remedy. If she were to order something which...
So you're simply asking us to issue an order that says pretty much that the appealability of an arbitration decision should be confined to what's contained in the statute?
Yes, Your Honor. That cuts through a lot of my argument, but yes. The Labor Council is convinced that arbitration is the method by which the disputes that arise under these collective bargaining agreements ought to be resolved. The Labor Council believes that the legislature has provided adequate remedies by which those awards can be tested in accordance with the previous decisions of this court. We believe that the Court of Appeals violated the requirements and exceeded its authority in reviewing this case in the manner in which it did. We ask you to reverse the Court of Appeals and issue an order remanding this to the arbitrator so that the issue of whether there was a contractual violation can be resolved in accordance with the contract by the selected and hired arbitrator. If there are no more questions, that concludes my argument. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. The appellee did not timely file a brief and waived all argument. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion, and we'll take a brief recess.